I am currently sitting in Forsyth, Illinois. Today, I'm going to share with you on how that even happened. Trigger warning, this is Caffeinated Christianity. Man, it's been a while. It has been a while. Let me tell you, I have been on some type of serious grind for the last like 3 weeks, man. And I'm telling you, it doesn't look like it's slowing down anytime soon. And just a quick preface, I have concocted some type of weird nasal cavity problem literally within about the last 11 minutes. So all of a sudden, I'm making kind of these weird noises. And so let me just go ahead and apologize for that. I'm in a new climate, so still making my adjustments. But I'll get to more on that in a second. Welcome to Caffeinated Christianity. I've been waiting to record this. I've been so busy, haven't had time. Finally, I'm back in my pocket, baby. We're back, and the Dracos are about to get popping. Nah, I probably shouldn't have said that. This is not a rap song. You know what I'm saying, though. I'm ready. What are we talking about today, Cooper? Today is episode 1 of the Cornfield Chronicles. I came up with that title myself. I'm proud of it. If you don't like it, please don't tell me. But today starts episode 1 of the Cornfield Chronicles. And we shall get to that in a second. As you know, because we do everything consistently around here besides actually post podcasts, because who's got time for that? Apparently not me. We're going to start with our verse of the episode. A very pertinent verse of the episode, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not rely on your own understanding. In all your ways know Him and He will make your path straight. Don't be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. Sorry, I read verse 7 too. I really like that verse. Anyways, let me go ahead and introduce you to what am I even doing here. Actually, let me back up even further. Cooper, what are the Cornfield Chronicles? Why are you even saying that? I'm currently sitting in the pastor's parsonage, where I live for the next 2 months, at Forsyth Baptist Church in Forsyth, Illinois, which is right outside of Decatur, Illinois, which is in between Springfield, Bloomington, and Champaign, Illinois. None of that probably gave you any sort of context. That's okay. I'm from a town that no one knows where it's at either. But let me tell you this. The last 6 months of my life have been very hectic and kind of crazy. But the last 2 months of my life have been something of a merry-go-round, let me tell you. I feel like I've been just running around with my head cut off. And here's what's happened. Over the course of the last several months, a lot of things have happened, which I will get to in a moment. And I am now serving as the interim pastor at Forsyth Baptist Church in Forsyth, Illinois, for 2 months this summer. 9 Sundays, 5 in June, 4 in July. I call it the Cornfield Chronicles because what I'm going to do is basically take the next 9 weeks and just let you know what's going on while I'm here, because there's so much stuff happening that I've got to share it because it's so rich and it's so awesome. And I mean, what all of my content for the podcast are going to be some version of my experience here. So why not just share my experience here? Maybe you'll get something out of it. Maybe you'll completely stop listening to my podcast. That's completely up to you. But for the next 9 weeks, we're going to be doing the Cornfield Chronicles because I've got to share with you what's going on in Illinois because God's up to something huge and I'm excited about it. It's called the Cornfield Chronicles because if you were to get on a map, sorry, let me be more specific. If you were to get on Google Maps, which I encourage you to do so now, look up Forsyth and Decatur, Illinois. Look up Decatur, Illinois, and you'll see there's this little localized little cityscape. They're balling here, got their downtown, they're this, they're that. But I want you to change it to the satellite view where you can see all the plants and buildings and cars and stuff. And I want you to zoom out. And I want you to look around Decatur and Forsyth, Illinois. Everything is farmland here. Everything's farmland. And what do they grow here? They grow corn, sunflowers, and soybeans, but really just corn. There's corn everywhere. So I felt no better title to call this than the Cornfield Chronicles, where I'm going to share with you my journey through and at and during and in and around Forsyth and Decatur, Illinois, pursuing my call to ministry and being a massive goober, which is one of my number one traits. Cooper, how did you end up in Forsyth, Illinois? let me try to make this as succinct as possible. My pastor at the church I go to at school, his name is Adam Powers. Adam is phenomenal. I love spending time with Adam. I go to Bellevue Baptist Church while I'm at college, and it's a great church. Love going there. It's awesome. This past semester, one of the things I did for class credit was an internship at Bellevue Baptist Church because I'm going into ministry. God's called me to ministry. He called me to ministry when I was 15. So that's where I'm going. I'm going into ministry later. I know that for a fact. And so I did an internship with Adam at Bellevue Baptist Church, just doing pastoral stuff. Adam used to be the pastor here at Forsyth Baptist Church several years ago. I think it's, don't quote me on this, but maybe it's like 7 or 8 now, 8 or 9, something like that. It's been a while. Adam randomly in February was like, dude, you know what would be awesome this summer is if you could go up to Forsyth Baptist Church and be the interim pastor there because they're going through the revitalization process. Which means that basically they're kind of in between pastors now and they're trying to basically get their church back on their feet. And so they don't have a pastor. They don't have a full-time pastor right now. So Adam said that, and it's February, and I've got a lot of things going on, and I'm like, that's the summer. And I'm just like, yeah, you know, that would be kind of cool. Whatever. Didn't think that much about it. But as the days and a couple weeks went on, I started really thinking. I was like, man, what if I did go do that? Because Adam was really hyping up what kind of experience it would be, that it'd be a good experience. They would love to have me. The people are great. You know, it'd be something cool to do. It helped me down the road, blah, blah, blah. And I really got to thinking about that. And something you need to understand about me is I'm an idealist. And I get these thoughts in my head and I basically mesh them and mold them and chew on them until I have this exact plan in my head. And then when it doesn't go that way, I'm devastated. But if it does go that way, you know, I just get really hype about it. So I really got to thinking. And I was like, man, what if I actually did that? I mean, what a huge commitment to go to Illinois. I've never been to Illinois in my life. Never in my life. The only thing I know about Illinois is Chicago, and that's the home state of Abraham Lincoln, the greatest president we've ever had, ever. Period. Bar none. But I got to really thinking, I was like, man, should I go do that? For the first time in my life, I'm ashamed to even admit this, but for the first time in my life, I legitimately said, God, do with this what you will. I said, hands off. Totally neutral. God, this feels like an open door. And if it's not an open door, please slam it closed. I texted all the guys in my Bible study, explained to them the situation, said, pray about it. I texted one of my best friends. His name's Thomas Broom. He's also going into ministry. He's a seminary right now. I texted him about it and said, man, I don't know what to do. Pray about it. Texted all my home pastors, explained to them the situation, said, pray about it. And then I began to pray about it. And my prayer for months was, God, this looks like an open door. If it's not an open door, slam it closed. So basically throughout this process, because it was such a huge commitment, here's what I decided to do. And I felt spiritually good about this. I basically, we had these list of things that needed to be met if I was going to come up here. You know, obviously needed a place to live. Needed to make some money while I was here because I've got to get an engagement ring. I've got to save money for school. Lots of things. I mean, I need money because the only chance for me to work is over the summer. So I needed some income, needed a place to live, needed to meet the people, which I got the opportunity to do on a mission trip. Several weeks ago, we came up here with Bellevue and did some construction on the church building in Forsyth. You know, I needed a car to take. You know, I needed a lot of smaller things to work out. And I decided, you know, hey, if one thing doesn't work out, God, I'm not going. I'll take that as, you know, this is me slamming the door. If one little tiny thing, no compromise, this is a huge commitment, no compromise, one tiny thing goes wrong, I'm not going. Well, let me tell you, over the course of like 2.5-3 months, everything on my list got checked off. Everything. God provided everything. And He provided several things tenfold. And then to put icing on the cake, I meet the people and they're phenomenal. So over the course of several months, I went from probably cutting grass and chilling and playing disc golf over the summer to now I'm serving as an interim pastor in Forsyth, Illinois. And I'll be sharing more about the process as the next several weeks go on because a lot of elements of it are pertinent. But that's why I'm here. God called me to Illinois this summer. He did, because I gave Him every chance not to. And I asked Him repeatedly, do you want me to do this? And repeatedly He looked me dead in my eyes and He said, son, yes, please go. And I'm getting even emotional talking about this. He said, yes, go. So I'm here, chilling in the midst of the cornfields, So here's how this is going to go for the Cornfield Chronicles. I'm basically just going to give you a recap of my week because, man, there's so much going on and there's so much learning being done. There's so much learning things about myself and about who Christ is and about who Christ is other places and about being a pastor and about preaching that I'm learning. And I want to share them, and I got to share them because I live alone. So no one gets to hear me talk about this except for the phone calls that I make. And dang it, I'm excited and I'm humbled, you know. I'm excited and I'm humbled. So, man, what did I do last week? Well, here's kind of been my goal. Here's going to be my goal with preaching. I have 9 weeks. There's no book you can really go through adequately in 9 weeks unless you pick a short one. And the problem with the short ones is that they're all very specific in their topic. Like right now, I'm doing my quiet time on 1 Peter. And 1 Peter, solid book. Learning some great stuff out of it, but it's a little bit repetitive. So if you preached on it for 9 straight weeks, you would find yourself saying a lot of the same things. So I've used that as a challenge. What I'm doing is for 9 weeks, I'm preaching one sermon out of every major section of the Bible. So the Pentateuch or the Torah, the first 5 books of the Bible, the history books, the wisdom literature and poetry, the prophets, the gospels, the epistles, Revelation. And then I'm going to do 2 sermons out of the epistles, and I think 2 sermons out of the prophets. So I preached on the Ten Commandments last week, and it was heat. I had a really good time studying that. Basically, what I did was I took the Ten Commandments, and I studied them really hard and preached them how they were meant to be read. I kind of looked at them at the Hebrew and their historical context and was like, here's what the Ten Commandments mean. And my breakdown from that study was basically the law proves to us exactly who we are, broken, depraved, incapable, and in need of a Savior. And the second point I had in that sermon was the law proves to us exactly who Christ is. He's the perfect atonement and the fulfillment of those Ten Commandments. Because, you know, Jesus goes on to say in the New Testament, he basically sums up the Ten Commandments in 2 commandments. You know, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind. And then love your neighbor as yourself. And if you look at the Ten Commandments, they break down that way. So studying the Ten Commandments was pretty fire. Had a good time preaching that sermon. It wasn't great. But the content I thought was really good, and so that's what I did. I preached on the Ten Commandments. There are several new things I learned the first week. One, I learned how to grocery shop. Never had to grocery shop really at all, let alone for one person. Do you know how hard it is to grocery shop for one person? Because they don't sell anything in one serving size, except like fruit. You can buy fruit and vegetables individually, usually. But like a bag of salad, like a bag of salad greens. I mean, it comes in like 4 serving sizes. You can't, I mean, unless you buy individual salads, which who's doing that? I'm a mountain man. But you can't buy anything in 1 serving size. That's been pretty annoying. Also, it's hard to buy things that you only need to use 1 time. Like I noticed at home, right? You go buy like for example, Windex. You know, I know several people in my house are going to use Windex. But I need to buy Windex, so basically wipe the window in my car. And the only thing I can buy is this massive bottle of Windex. And I'm thinking, when is this ever going to get used? But I got no choice. So you got to buy like random things that you're going to use once. But you really got no other way around it. I also started a new job. I work at Clippers Lawn and Landscape. So I cut grass, trim bushes, do mulch, the whole 9 yards. Pretty solid. The guys I work with are cool. The owners of the business are Christians, and they're super understanding about my situation. It's been a pretty good fit so far. I'm really enjoying it. It's keeping me in shape. It's not nearly as hot up here in Illinois. It's about 15 degrees cooler than it was at home when I left. And it's also ridiculously and incredibly flat. Something else I've learned. I've come to the conclusion there are 2 types of people in this country. There are people who live in the city, and there are people who do not live in the city. I really thought Forsyth and Decatur would be very different than home. They're slightly different, but they're not that much different. It's not that much different here culturally. This feels very, very much like the South. Very conservative, very patriotic, very working class, very, you know, easygoing, laid back. The only thing about the Midwest that's significantly different is the driving here is aggressive. Everybody is always on my bumper. Man, back off. I mean, you go 5 or 6 over, and it feels like they want to crawl inside your back windshield. Like, will you please get off my bumper? Everybody's an aggressive driver here. So that's kind of whatever. It's also stupid flat. I mean, you can see for miles. It's incredible. I'm fascinated every time I go out of town into the country when we cut grass and stuff. Like, I can't quit staring. So flat. Here are kind of my three takeaways from the last week. I'm gonna do some takeaways from the week as I do the Cornfield Chronicles. Here are my three takeaways from week one. Hope is a powerful thing. I see this kind of in two ways. One, I see this in the church. The church has had some tough times with some past pastors, and they've lost a great deal of their membership. I mean, they're barely hanging on. I'm not going to say they're barely hanging on. They're doing a lot better now than they were 7 or 8 months ago, but, I mean, membership is small. I mean, I've been preaching to 30 people 2 weeks in a row. I've been preaching to 30 people last week. And so, you know, hope is a powerful thing. And what I mean by that is the hope that really that Christ is who he says he is holds people together. But the hope that the local church is something that's very influential in its community holds people together. You know, they are doing some things here that you would never catch me dead doing because I would have given up a year ago. I would have given up long before this. And there are people that are pushing this local church to its limits, but pushing this local church to be something that it can be. And that's a powerful testimony. That's something very, very humbling and unique to be a part of. Because I come from a church background where we don't struggle. We don't want for anything. We don't need anything. We can do what we want. We've got 5 full-time pastors. You know, our membership is great. The people I go to church with are great. You know, we've got everything we need. And First Baptist Church Kings Mountain is never hurting for anything. And then you come to Forsyth Baptist Church where they need a lot. And mostly what they need is leadership. And I'm not here to provide that. I'm here to preach, basically, and just hang out with everybody. You know, but the hope that these people have that Christ is going to do something, and I feel fully confident that he is. I mean, I just know. I know he's doing something. I know he's up to something. And, man, it's just a powerful thing to be around these people. Another way I see hope is just in this community. I mean, this community has really been hit by lack of jobs in the Rust Belt. You know, that's something I learned about in school, but I've never really seen it until now because I've never been to the Midwest. And here I am, and I see closed factories and depressed communities. Man, but the people here are so nice. They're so genuine. And everybody works hard. Everybody works hard, at least everybody that I've met so far. Everybody's just grinding, man. Everybody's grinding to make a living. Everybody's grinding to be, you know, somebody. And man, that's such a testament to this community. It's a testament to the United States, to be completely honest with you. You can't do this anywhere else. Don't argue with me on that. You can't. I mean, I try not to be super patriotic because I know it can sometimes get annoying because my podcast is not about the United States. It's about Christ. But man, the United States is impressive, and I'm so impressed by it being in the Midwest. These people are getting it, dog. They are getting it. I'm so impressed. Here's my second takeaway. Growing up sucks. Having a grocery shop, terrible. Having to clean your own house, awful. But most importantly, having to be an adult, man, is rough. You get up for work early, you work all day, you get off, you go to bed, you get up and do it again. I mean, man, that's rough. And not to mention that, but part of the process of growing up is having to do a lot of things by yourself and do a lot of things alone, man. I haven't really been hit by the loneliness yet because I've been so busy, and I don't think it'll ever get too bad. But man, the silence in an empty house is something I have no frame of reference for, man. I got 4 siblings. Stupid. There are 4 siblings in my family. I have 3 siblings. I have a big family. There's always somebody crawling down my neck at home, and I love every minute of it. And man, being by yourself, it's not really that bad. I'm not going to say it's that bad yet, but it's so strange. You know, it's so strange. I can't sleep like at all because I can hear everything because there's no TV. There's nobody breathing. You know, it's like, it's weird. Growing up is hard, man. It's like you have to make all these adult decisions now. And I'm loving what I'm doing here. I love what God's called me to do this summer, but there's nothing carefree about it. I mean, it's diligent. You know, I mean, it's a grind. Got a lot of things to do. I don't have nearly enough time to get them all done. You know, that's something that that's another takeaway. Growing up's hard. It really is. The third thing, which kind of goes along with my first thing, but my third takeaway of week one is that hard work is the mark of the Christian. A verse that comes to mind is Colossians 3:17. You know, do everything as if doing it with Christ standing there watching you do it. You know, the man and woman that own the business I work for, the guy, his name's Jeff. Jeff is one of the hardest working people I've ever seen cutting grass. Probably second only to Roger Henderson, who I worked with last summer, who's an absolute dog on a weed eater and a lawnmower. That man works a million miles an hour. But man, Jeff's such a hard worker, and his wife is such a hard worker, and they just run they run a tight ship. And I think a lot of that has to do with their faith. You know, when Christ calls you to be who you are, you don't take that lightly, and you don't do it half-heartedly. Because if you are, that's not reflective of who he's called you to be. Christ did a lot for us on the cross. And by a lot, I mean astronomically more than we could ever ask or imagine or think of or create with our own hands. I mean, the least you can do is work hard. And I'm learning the value of that. I mean, I see it in the church. They're working so hard to keep this local church going. Man, that's powerful. And not only is that powerful, but you can see the conviction in it. They're not doing it just because they're members here, because lots of their fellow members have left. Because that's the easy thing to do. Go find another church to go to. But no, this is our church. This is where God called us to be. And so we're going to keep it up. And we're going to pay the money that we need to keep the lights on. And we're going to invite the people we need to invite. And we're going to try to get pastors in here to preach. And we're going to provide for the guy that comes in interims here. Comes in interims, not a verb, is it? Comes and serves as an interim here. Hard work is the mark of the Christian. If you're going to call yourself a Christian and you're not working hard, don't call yourself a Christian until you start. Man, I'm lazy sometimes. Man, I take a lot of time off. I've been super convicted the last year of my life. Man, you could be doing more. You can do more. You know, last semester, and I know I've talked about this before, and I'm not trying to flex, but I took on a lot more academic responsibility last semester, and man, I'm better for it. If you've got space to be doing more, you ought to be doing more, because guess what Christ had space for? He had space for nails in his hands, and he put them there. The least we can do is work hard and do a little extra. The way I've seen God move this last week is many ways. Probably the most powerful thing that's hit me this past week is I was doing my study for the book of, for my sermon on David and Goliath, and I came to this part where I knew this part of the story happened, but I didn't know the details this fine. It said Jesse sent his son David to the front lines to take some bread and cheese and check on his brothers. Something that's very powerful about that, though. David would have never been at the fight had his dad not sent him. David would have never been there to fight Goliath and win had Jesse not sent his son. How reminiscent of the cross is that? Christ would have never been on Calvary had God not sent him down for us. Christ would have never been there had God not sent him down for us. Man, what a powerful statement of the gospel, that God chooses to do what he wants, and the cross would have never happened had God not chosen to do something for us. Man, I get chills thinking about that. The Son always has been and will be sent by the Father. Man, what a testament to who Christ is. Your CHH song of the episode, what a throwback. I heard this on the way home from work the other day, and man, it slaps. I miss it. I missed the song. I hadn't heard it in a long time. It really got my blood flowing. New Shalom by Lecrae featuring Pro, who's now known as Derek Minor. Man, what an absolute fire song. Just look it up. I'm not even going to say anything about it. Absolute killer track. Huge fan. So with that, I say thanks for tuning in. Of course, I reimburse you for the brain cells. I can do it with some corn now since I'm around all that, you know. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at CalfChrist. Check out CalfChrist.com. Got some fire blogs coming out later. Humble brag. Know Christ. Reflect Christ. John 1:5. Hate sin. Love sinners. Eat some corn. And remember, the battle is already won. Outie. 50.